Okay, so we're going to continue our discussion of Shorash Aleph. And this week, our discussion actually kind of takes an interesting twist. What we've seen so far is that the Rambam argues that no mitzvot to meet the Rabbanan can be included on the list of 613, and he provides good arguments that seem to make the case for why they should not be included. The Ramban actually does agree with the Rambam that mitzvot to meet the Rabbanan should not be included on the list, but nonetheless makes a point of defending the position of the Bahag, who counts many mitzvot midrabbanan on the list. That's what we've seen so far. Now, this week, that whole dispute takes an interesting twist, because the Rambam actually does suggest a potential defense for the Bahag. Rambam says as follows, Mashiro li she'viyam al-zeh yoseinu b'varchem al-eilu ha'dvar mashar k'dishonu m'sosav etzivanu al-mikro megillah ul-hadlik ner v'ligmor es-ahala. The reason why I think the Bahag counts all of these mitzvot is because, after all, we do make a Birkos HaMitzvah on all of these mitzvot. We say, Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvot V'Tzivanu, that God commanded us to do them. And the Rambam quotes a Gemara in Shabbos Daf of Gemara Lamed Aleph, which is in the context of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah. The Gemara there asks, how are we able to say V'Tzivanu on mitzvot Terabbanan? And the Gemara answers, the Gemara asks, Heichan Tzivanu? V'Amru Mi Lo Sasur. The Torah says, Lo Sasur Min HaDavar She'Yagidu L'Cha Yaminu Smol. You shall not deviate from that which the Chachamim tell you, either right or left. And the Rambam says, the Gemara says that is the basis for our ability to say the word Vitzivanu, that we have been commanded to perform all these mitzvot midrabbanan. And the Rambam suggests that perhaps that is the basis of the Bahag for suggesting that all of these mitzvot midrabbanan should be included on the list, because all of them do have some basis or foundation in a mitzvah de'oraisa of lo sasur. And indeed, if you look at the Shitas HaRambam, the Rambam actually thinks that there are two mitzvot de'oraisa that pertain to the observance of mitzvot de'rabbanan. If you look at mitzvot aseid, kuf ayin dalid, he says, al pi ha-Torah asher yorucha, is again another pasuk in the Torah. So the Rambam says, shetzivanu lishmoa le-beis tenagadol v'la'asas kol ma'ashi yitzavu, that there is a mitzvah to listen to the beis tenagadol, a mitzvot aseid, to do whatever they tell us. And then in losa aseid, shen yud beis, the Rambam quotes losa asur, in addition to the mitzvot aseid, there's also a losa aseid, against violating what the Chachamim tell us. So the Rambam thinks that there are two mitzvot de'oraisa that actually pertain to the observance of mitzvot midrabbanan, and the Rambam argues that that is perhaps what the Bahag is based on. Now, in the end, the Rambam doesn't actually like that. Again, the Rambam himself does not accept that argument. He argues that if that were the case, you'd have to count every single mitzvah midrabbanan, and you'd end up with a massive list that goes well beyond 613. And he notes that the Bahag himself does not quote every single mitzvah midrabbanan. He notes a number of mitzvahs midrabbanan that the Bahag does not quote, and hopefully in future weeks we'll discuss some of them, why the Bahag perhaps chose to count certain mitzvahs midrabbanan and not others. So the Rambam does reject it, but at least he offers a potential defense that perhaps the Bahag is based on this mitzvah of Lo Sasur and the parallel mitzvah say of Piha Torah Shayyum. Now the Ramban totally rejects the premise of the Rambam's defense for the Bahag. And he argues that this mitzvah of Lo Sasur Min HaDavar Shayyugidu L'Cha Yaminu Smol does not at all include mitzvahs Drabbanu. What does it include? So hopefully we'll talk about the Ramban's position on Lo Sasur next week. But the Ramban basically launches a very lengthy attack on this position of the Rambam by basically arguing that, according to the Rambam, you have obliterated all of the differences between mitzvot midoraisa and mitzvot midrabbanan. And the Ramban attacks the Rambam by just pointing out a whole host of halachic differences that exist between mitzvot midoraisa and mitzvot midrabbanan. Some of them are well known, some of them are lesser known. We're not going to go through all of them because the Ramban really has a lengthy list of differences between mitzvot midoraisa and mitzvot midrabbanan. What are some of the obvious ones? So we know, for example, we have the principle of sveika d'oraisa l'chumra, sveika d'rabbanan l'kula. When you have some matter of uncertainty pertaining to a mitzvah midoraisa, you have to be stringent. When it comes to a mitzvah midrabbanan, you have the luxury of being lenient. So the Ramban asks, if according to the Rambam, indeed every single mitzvah midrabbanan has a d'oraisa component to it, why do you ever have the ability to be lenient on mitzvah midrabbanan? It should be the equivalent of a mitzvah midoraisa. The Ramban quotes the principle of himnuhu rabbanan midrabbanan, that we find in a number of contexts. We find it at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim on Daf Dalet, the concept that really somebody who does not have halachic ne'amanos will be believed for a derabanan matter. Will believe a katan when it pertains to issues of bedikas chametz, because bedikas chametz is only midrabanan. So because it's only midrabanan, we'll believe a child who's less than 13 years old, even from, though from a halachic standpoint, they certainly are not ksherim la'edos, they can't give formal testimony in a halachic court, but we'll rely on them on mitzvos midrabanan nonetheless. And again, the Ramban asks, why is it that we are relying on him if this is de'oraisa? He gives other examples. Why is it that in many cases in Shas, in the Gemara and Shabbos, he gives a couple of examples, we say that a mitzvah de'oraisa overrides a mitzvah midrabanan. And when you have competition between a mitzvah de'oraisa and a mitzvah de'rabanan, the mitzvah de'oraisa is the one that takes precedence. Again, why if a mitzvah de'rabanan is indeed a mitzvah de'oraisa as well? Final example, I mean, again, the Ramban gives many, is onshin is another thing he points out. We know that there is, for corporal punishment, for example, you have malchus on the violation of a lo sa'asei de'oraisa. You certainly don't have that on a lo sa'asei de'rabanan. You have a parallel concept called makas mardus, which perhaps exists in certain de'rabanans, which de'rabanans also ends up being a discussion in the Shoreshim of the Sefer Mitzvos, but certainly don't have Malkos Midrabanan. So why do all these differences exist if, according to the Rambam, every Midrabanan is part of Lo Sasser as well? So broadly speaking, I think you can offer a number of answers for the Rambam, and I'm going to offer two that I think are pretty prevalent. One of them actually already appears in the Ramban himself. He kind of predicts what defenders of the Rambam would answer. And that is just the basic principle of Ki Agavna Lo Tikna. It is true that every single mitzvah midrabanan has a de'oraisa component to it, based on those two mitzvahs, the mitzvah sase and the mitzvah sase. But when the chachamim made this mitzvah midrabanan, they built internal conditions to that mitzvah midrabanan that dictated, in these circumstances, you don't need to observe it. So, for example, let's just go through two basic examples. Sveka de'oraisa l'chomra, sveka de'rabanan l'kul. So there's actually a discussion in the Rishonim as to whether that principle itself is mida oraisa or mida rabbanan. Why is it that I have to be machmir on a sveka de oraisa? Is that the Torah dictates that in the instance of a suffik by a de oraisa matter you have to be machmir? Or no, the rabbanan told you that in the context of suffik de oraisa, you should be machmir. That has ramifications for a whole host of issues. Those were in Ksubas last year, the question of, or 2 years ago, the question of svek sveka. It features prominently there. It happens to be the position of the Rambam is that the reason why we are machmir on dinim de'oraisa is itself rabbinic. The Rabbanan are the ones who said that we have to be machmir. So by the same token, the Rabbanan hold that when it comes to matters of the Rabbanan mitzvos, you don't have to be machmir. They established that principle at the same point that they gave you this mitzvah midrabbanan, and therefore, in the instance of safek, you don't have any de'oraisa ramification because the Rabbanan themselves told you that you don't have to observe that mitzvah. Or himnuhu rabbanan b'drabbanan. Another great example. Just listen to the language itself. When the rabbanan established certain mitzvos, they built into those mitzvos the notion that you are able to rely on the testimony of a katan in the context of those mitzvos. It's an internal qualification of the mitzvah b'drabbanan that dictates, in these specific circumstances, there's no mitzvah b'drabbanan at all to do it, and by extension, there is obviously no de'oraisa component as well. Now, as it happens, the Ramban actually makes the suggestion for the Rambam, but he doesn't like it. He says, "V'ein elu dvarim hagunim v'lo shel ikar." He doesn't really buy into that answer of the Rambam, but I do think that can go a long way to answer many of the questions of the Rambam. Another answer that I know that my Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig prefers is that you really have to take a little bit of a more nuanced view when it comes to this mitzvah of lo sasser, when it comes to this mitzvah of apiyat rosh yerucha. The Ramban is treating this as if every mitzvah midrabanan is automatically elevated to the level of de'oraisa because of these two mitzvahs. Whereas Rosenzweig argued that perhaps you have to view it a little bit differently. It's not that now every de'rabanan is automatically a de'oraisa. Narrowly speaking, you are still dealing with a mitzvah midrabanan, but by violating a mitzvah midrabanan, you violate a broader principle of de'oraisa. Mashal ma'adavar domeh. We have a number of examples of this actually in the thought of the Ramban himself. Where do we have it in the Ramban? Three famous instances of the Ramban. Number one is Kedosh Shabbos. Okay, let's start with that one. The Ramban says there's a mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. Keep Shabbos. Yom Shabbos. So whatever the source is. There are different psukim that are quoted for the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. What is this mitzvah saseh of Shabbos? So the Ramban is a little unclear. At the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos is one thing. Later in Hilchos Shabbos is another thing. What the Ramban says in his commentary on Vayikra is that the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos is establishing a certain character to the day. He says, look, I have these 39 prohibitions, lo sa'aseh kol melacha, but theoretically I can come up with loopholes to get around all of them, and I can actually have a quite normal workday on Shabbos just by invoking certain principles and using the loopholes within the various melachos to get around all of them. What is the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos? Mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos tells you to establish a certain character to the day of Shabbos. That even if you can have those loopholes, that still doesn't maintain the character of Shabbos, and therefore it is a violation of the Aseh. And the Ramban says, included in that are Dinei Shavuos, are the rabbinic prohibitions of Shabbos. One who violates a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos violates this broader value of the Mitzvah Aseh of Shabbos. Other examples include the Rambam on Kedoshim Tihu, on Ve'asisa HaYashar Ve'atov. The Ramban identifies this category called Naval B'Shos HaTorah. The person who, keeps all the halachos, but manages to find all the loopholes so that he's still a despicable character, that he still is unethical, fails to absorb the broader moral, spiritual message of what Torah is all about. Both in Ben Adam L'Chavero and in Ben Adam L'Malchum. The Ramban says that somebody who gratuitously becomes Tameh violates this halacha. These are areas where you don't have any strict deoraisa on the narrow specific application or the narrow action that you are doing, but there's a broader umbrella deoraisa that it is grouped under. And if you view the Rambam in that regard, it can help you in many ways to resolve many of the Ramban's issues. By Sveika deoraisa l'chumra, this, again, in each application you have to assess each one individually, by Sveika deoraisa l'chumra, another major question is, why are we machmir? Simply because of what's at stake? Because there's a lot at stake? Or because there's a principle that when you're dealing with a deoraisa issue in and of itself, that dictates chum. And that comes up in a number of contexts. There's some interesting applications by Shemitah. It's an interesting question. It comes up in many, many instances. So if you take this approach, and you assume that Sveika deoraisa l'chumra is not just, there is a deoraisa at stake, but rather that the narrow issue, if the narrow issue is a deoraisa, then you have to be machmir, then again, for the Rambam, he's not saying that every derabbanan is intrinsically a mitzvah deoraisa. If we view it from a narrow standpoint, if we're looking at this mitzvah itself, it's a mitzvah derabbanan. And therefore, we're going to say Sveika derabbanan l'kula. When you zoom out and you view the broader umbrella, the broader value that we're talking about, then in that sense, there is perhaps a violation of the broader deoraisa value of al piyato rasha yerucha and losa sermon adavar yasha yikinu l'chayim b'nusmo. So that's some basics on the Rambam position on losasar. Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll talk about the Ramban's position on losasar, what it entails, what it does not, and how the Ramban perceives mitzvos in the Rabban.